Precious Lord, thank you, Lord, for this time, O God. We thank thee, Lord, for all our brethren, both local and international, God, that we can come together and gather at thy feet. Lord, we come before you this morning, O God, and commit our hearts unto you and all our needs and our requests unto thee, Lord. Father, we stand before you this morning, O God, and ask of you that your Holy Spirit will have the preeminence and take control in each and every one of us.
Amen.
Lord God, if we have let you down in any way, O God, if we have sinned, Lord, may you forgive us, Lord, and may your blood of our Lord Jesus Christ cover us. Dear Lord, this morning, O God, I pray, Lord, that you would take control of all our hearts and our thoughts and lift us up, Lord, to look towards you. We are here, Lord, to hear from you, Lord. We are here to listen to your word and to learn from thee. Father, while we are still in this flesh, O God, and in this journey, there are many, many trials, burdens, and troubles that will come our way. Lord, as the song goes, O God, this is the peace, Lord, that we look forward to, and the peace in you. Truly, Lord, thou art the great God, the El Shaddai, the Jehovah, the Jireh, Lord. Truly, Lord, all the peace is in thee. Help us, God. We are truly needy people. As we come before you, Lord, look into our hearts, O God, and see which area, Lord, we have learned not, we have failed to surrender to thee. Dear Lord, this morning, O God, as I approach your word, will you help me, O God, to break down your words for the edification of the soul of my brethren? And Lord, while we are still here, there's a battle to fight, Lord. There's a war on. Lord, help us, Lord, to recognize the spiritual warfare, what the devil is doing in taking away this word of God, this peace in our heart. Give us wisdom, O God, and give us the ability to discern and to know what is right and wrong. Father, this morning, O God, as we approach your word, may you give the control and guide me, O God, in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. We'd like to welcome our international brethren. Lord bless you richly. This morning, I'd like to share on the title, The Forbearance of God. Let's turn to the scripture. We turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Chapter 3. Book of Romans, chapter 3, reading from verse 25 and 26. Whom God had set through faith in his blood, we go to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Reading from verse 25 and 26. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Truly, we thank God for he came and died on the cross of Calvary as a propitiation for our sins. And his blood is given to us. And by faith, right, it is how we believe in him. And we have established a relationship with him so that we can actually learn more of him and what he wants us to be. In the forbearance of God, way back in the Old Testament, we all know that the grace and the love of God is so merciful on the children of Israel. Time and time again, he has actually, even though they have sinned against him, turned their backs against him, give him disrespect throughout, he sent prophets after prophets, trying to tell them that you are all not obeying what I'm teaching you. How good is our God? Why is He so loving and so kind? This is exactly when Moses was talking to him and they asked him, Lord, show me thy face. Right? And the Lord told him that I can't show you my face. No man has seen my face and lived. But the Lord told him something, right, that we all would want to be reminded of. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Verse 5 to 8. This was when Moses came down from Mount Sinai after spending 40 days. The Lord spoke to him, and the Lord gave him the two tablets of stone. Verse 5, Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. This is what our God is telling the children of Israel, that He is a great God. He is full of mercy and graciousness, long-suffering. His forbearance is always there, especially for His chosen, His people. He has always been keeping His heart, forgiving their iniquity and transgression, and telling them that they should repent. But one thing God is stating in verse 7, He is the holy and righteous God. He will judge your sins and the things you have done, and will punish you for all the rebellion and the stubbornness that you have. That punishment will stand. And why is it so? And why is it this way? We wonder, why does the Lord always come to us and says that, you know, you must be holy, but the moment we step away from the presence of God, our own human mind will be filled with all kinds of challenges where we have a problem trying to control ourselves and we get distracted. It is because man is still in this body, and God realized that in the Old Testament, He couldn't do it with the children of Israel. He tried. He gave them the law. He told them that you must live a life, recognize my word, and all I ask of you is to, if you sin, come, confess your sin, bring your offerings to the high priest to sacrifice. God will forgive you. But the law could not achieve the portion of the changed person in the human heart. It is because of the corruption that is in the Garden of Eden, where you are actually, it's in the blood, right? And the frailty of mankind is the moment you go back to your human behavior, you can never overcome it. Then God came, and in the book of Ezekiel, He says that, we can go into the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Verse 26. The old rocky heart, the stony heart that we have, couldn't be done. And here in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord came out with a new covenant. He says that, Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Here the Lord realized that whatever he has tried by the law, because mankind is still subjected under their own flesh and blood, they can never achieve what he has purposed to do. And here he came, and he, in the book of in the prophet Ezekiel, he says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. It is exactly the intent of God, is to let us realize that we need to accept him into our hearts. And you can see in the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ came, okay, and died on the cross of Calvary. What did he give us? He gave us salvation. It's free, and all you have to do is to believe, correct? But hidden within that promise that God has actually given, he is telling us that salvation is only the beginning. What comes from it is the journey towards perfection. Is repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. How is it possible to receive the Holy Spirit? It is for you to have the faith to believe. When you believe, you accept and confess your sins and take him as your personal Savior. Okay? Immediately after that, God actually gives you the Holy Spirit. This is the promise that Ezekiel is talking about, put his spirit within you. The journey when God gave you your spirit brought from your day you are baptized, correct? It's a very process of growing. Every child, when it is born, has to learn. Okay? And I thank God that, you know, it is because of what the Lord has instituted within the family, right? Within the homes, for the parents to discipline the child, to teach the child, correct? It's the same here. Why? Do you remember in the book of Hebrews, the Lord says that he's the captain of our salvation, right? And in, let's go there, right? In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. For it became him for whom all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. What is this suffering that the Apostle Paul was telling the Hebrews? It is the warfare that we have to fight. It is exactly the kind of challenges that we have to face in this present time. Remember, the parable that the Lord spoke? The kingdom of heaven. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Verse 3 to 6. Here the Lord says, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 to 6. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Verse 6, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone will hang about his neck, and he will drown in the depth of the sea. Brothers and sisters, what is this kingdom of heaven that the Lord is talking about. What is this offense that our Lord Jesus is talking about? He's talking about the journey that we are walking, the battle that we are fighting, and the environment that we have to walk through. If we are not careful in our understanding of the spiritual warfare, this kingdom of heaven is something that we need to be refreshed and be reminded again that we have to fight it and overcome it. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said, when he came out and he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we all know that the Lord came and the gates of hell were shaken, because that is where he came and he died on the cross of Calvary and gained the victory. But that is the first part. The second part is this kingdom of heaven that the Lord wants us to go into it. Where is it and how is it like? Right? And what is the context of it? We know in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I want to bring to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Here the verse Lord says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. God has promised us, and God wants us to recognize where we are and what we are facing in this aspect of the kingdom of heaven. So, what is this journey that we are fighting and this journey that we are encountering where there seems to be so much problem, so much trial, because it is the process of suffering through trials and testing that God is going to mold us. It is exactly what the Lord is trying to wake us up and help us to know that if your journey is going to be a bed of roses, wide is the way, right? Everybody can go in. But it is a narrow way for you. So here, the Lord is saying that in my forbearance, when I look at you and I grant you mercy and grace, despite all the things that you are doing, I'm trying to tell you that I want you to repent and learn. So, I'm trying to bring the context of what is it that we have to do. We take a look at the Lord. When he came, he learned obedience, right? Through all the things that he has to go through. He has to give up his family, right? And give everything to God. What is doing the will of the Father? Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of, right? My meat is to do the will of the Father. It is to recognize that what did the Lord came? He wants each and every one of us to be like him. He wants all of us to surrender everything to God. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. This is exactly what he wants us to do. How to do it? You look at him, what he has to go through. Okay? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he has every opportunity to call legions of angels to come and defend him. But he says, not my will, but thy will be done. The ability to recognize God in every single situation that we are in, that's what the Lord showed us. Right? He just surrendered it to him and let him, he's in control. Many a times, we try to do things for God on behalf of God. Right? And this is something that we must be very careful. Let me show you what Brother Henry was sharing yesterday in Jude 1, I would like to bring your attention to verse 11 in Jude, chapter 1, verse 11. Jude is before the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran ye greedily after the arrow of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. This is the battle that we are fighting. This is the warfare that will keep on going. Right? And as what the Lord has set us the example, we have to learn to submit in obedience and let God be the one in control. So what is the problem with Cain? Cain was not happy, right? That what he has offered to the Lord, Abel, God honors Abel's sacrifice, not his. And do you know that the warfare we are fighting in the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual warfare? It's everything about the truth of God, the word of God, the religious practice. You look at down through time. When they could not break through into Christianity in the early church ages, they just couldn't do it even through the dark ages. They killed them. The more they killed them, the more the Lord moved the hearts. Then he took a different approach. He bring in politics. Right? He bring in the rooms, and then the Roman Catholic Church was formed. Correct? And the first thing they do, they take over the authority of God's word. Correct? And they came out with their old doctrines. So it is the same spirit. Right? The same spirit that is always moving and destroying God's move, right? And confusing the children of God, right? By coming in the same form. Both are religious, correct? Both have things to do, cannot do, you know, so that you can be more righteous than others, correct? But behind it, the spirit behind it in Cain was hurt. His pride was hurt, correct? And he can never forgive that, correct? And hate his brother for that, right? And God warned him, if you do not, right, all you need to do is to offer the sacrifice in the right way. Is it very difficult? Right? I know. Right? I'm offended. And what is it that eats into me? I'm angry. I never forget it. That when there's an opportunity time, he killed Abel. So this is how Satan works. Now I must say that Satan has been down through this 2,000 years looking at men and how we have fallen and the way he came us. That's why the Lord told Peter, Satan wants to have you, to save you, correct? But I will pray for you. When you go through temptations, it is going to be saved in such a way, right, that if not for the Lord, you'll be gone. Don't think that you're strong enough and you're better than the devil. Okay? Right? Don't underestimate him. It's the same with the Korah. He was among the Levites, right? And yet, after a while, he wanted to take the role of Aaron, the high priest. See, what is it that I have done that is less than his? I'm also a Levite, right? And he influenced 250 people with him to say that they take too much control and too much authority to themselves, right? When they challenged Moses and Aaron over the priesthood, right, regarding the high priest, what happened? All the reasoning is correct. I'm also a Levite, right? Why not me? What's so different? Just wear on him, correct? The difference is, it's not chosen, correct? And that is God. When God set a certain word and standard, his anointing is the most important, correct? Who he has chosen is the most important. And when God chose Aaron, his rock-budded residence. Correct? What else do you want to see? And God will uphold that anointing. Okay? So, for us, if we can never understand the patience of God, His when God says that, you know, I, in my love and mercy for you, you know, I'm very full of forbearance. It is because He knows that we can't pay the debt that He wanted. It is because we owe Him so much an obligation that we just can't do it. Correct? So He came, and in His forbearance and long suffering, He tried to give us another chance. Okay? I don't need to forbear if you have not offended me. There's nothing to forbear. You know what I mean? It's because I'm hurt. Correct? And you offended me. And you should not have done this. Correct? And you hurt me. So don't get caught up in the same spirit as Cain, where he cannot forgive and he loses anger. Okay? The same for the other aspect. Why is it He's chosen, I'm not? And when you reach that subtlety of that temptation that Satan is giving, is I'm also a Levite. I'm also performing all this. I'm leading the people. It's the same as Uzziah, right? He just wants to go into the temple and burn the incense. And God magnify him until he's a king. He's the way he fight the war, he win everyone, right? He defended Israel. But he just want to do that one. But it's not his calling to do. Right? And he went in the temple, right? And the priest confronted him, and the Lord struck him with leprosy. So we must be very careful when we are dealing with the move of God, right? When the Spirit of God is moving. Always go back to your very follow the our example of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And always recognize the warfare, the environment you are in, right? The kingdom of heaven is on this earth. Let me just find the part about, just give me, I think it's in Luke. Let me see what I'm right. Yeah, the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 16. Pardon me. When we are talking about we go to Matthew chapter 25. We read from verse 31 to 40. The judgment of God here regarding the goats, it is talking about the kingdom of God, how God wants it to be. Yeah? Okay, so we start from verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. Naked ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done unto me. Amen. So here we're talking about the warfare that we are fighting, the kind of stress that we are going through, and the kind of the things that we must do for our brethren. God is calling us as a church, as a family of God, okay, to prepare for His coming. But you must recognize the warfare, how Satan is always polluting and destroying this. Right? Remember the parable where Jesus says that a sower go and sow, he sowed good seeds. Right? An enemy came and sowed tares. And when they grew up, the servant said, shall we take it out? He said, no, let them go side by side. Okay, right? And then the other one is they are all in the same vineyard. They're all growing, taking nutrients from the same place. Okay, right? So why is it so? That is the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this, because this is exactly the kind of spiritual warfare that we are fighting. Right? The environment and the things that is going to come against us is to make us surrender and submit to the Lord. And that is something that is everyone, right, is an individual one. Pardon me, I'm jumping a little bit. I'm trying to share with you, brothers and sisters, that the Lord says that how many times must you forgive your brethren? You can find in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, 1:8. Matthew chapter 18, 1:8, verse 31 and 32. This was Peter telling the Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and how often shall I forgive him? So, Matthew 18, verse 31 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? The seven times? And just said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but 70 times seven. And okay, this is the place I'm finding. You notice in verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a kid. The Lord is always telling us in this walk that we have, what is this kingdom of heaven that we are talking about, that He's trying to build in us, move in us, and telling us to take note and beware that except we be like a little child, right? And learn to forgive and to work with one another, that process of tribulations, trial and testing is going to be ongoing. Is going to keep on coming. Why? Right? Because in verse 3 of chapter 18 of Matthew, he says, you need to be converted. You're not converted yet to be like little children. Right? Why? Because we are trying to go into the kingdom of heaven to be able to let the Holy Spirit manifest the love of God and get us ready for the third pool. Why is it so important? It is your journey of learning. And just like the Lord says, it is the enemy is going to do this trick, right? One, the wheat and tares are going to thrown in together in the kingdom of heaven, right? Within the vineyard. Okay? And you find that what is going to happen inside there will be offenses. But in verse 7 of chapter 18, the Lord says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom offense cometh. Why is it such? You can see wars after wars. You can see that in Israel, right? In Gaza. And you can see, just keep on, sometimes we wonder, why? Why is it so? It is because of this plan that the Lord have, is to give you a new heart, correct, and put His Spirit in you to teach you, so that you can be like Him. He's the captain of salvation, right? Okay, but perfect through suffering. We all must suffer. Okay? But this suffering, is it because I have a choice? Right? Is it because I caused it? Right? Or is it because of the enemy? Right? And this is exactly what the Lord is telling each and everyone, because of His love for us, in His forbearance for us, right? Okay? He wants to perfect everybody. God is a God not of you alone, correct? But He has His bride, His church to look after. So, in understanding the environment and the warfare that we have to fight, and the spirit that we are dealing with, or the influence of the devil that is coming against us, you have to watch very carefully how Satan will use the people, the politics, the government to come into attack the Church of God. You look at Balaam, right? What did he do? Okay. And what did the Lord told him? Every example that God gave us, he is talking to God, correct? God is speaking to him, and he is hearing from God, and he has bring God's word to the people. But he himself, he just want to have the reward, correct? So your heart is where God is ruling it. That's why he says, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is within you. Right? Why? This battle is within you. All the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life will come towards you, and it will always confront you in everything you do. Why? Because the devil's intent is to dethrone the Spirit of God in you and say, see, you're not a child of God. Right? When Abraham was tempted by the young woman and young man in the church itself, when he was preaching, okay, the Lord said this will be a test for him, and they're doing silly things in the church, and he was trying to preach, and the Holy Spirit came and says, "I give them to you. Say what you want. You say what you want to be done, and it will be done." And you look at them, and you ask the Lord, "You know, what should I say?" And he says, "I forgive you." That is the test that he passed. And that is the same test that we all have to go through. Why? Okay. There are many things that we see that we always think, how do I put it? The love that he has to forgive them is the same love that we read, right, in Exodus 34, God proclaiming about himself. That's the God that we know. Correct? It's the same that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross of Calvary, right? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," right? It's the same that the Spirit was in Stephen when they stoned him to death. Correct? He also said the same thing. Right? So, then, what is it that the Lord is showing us? What is meant by perfected through suffering? It is you. And when we come to the Church of God, you come here between you and God. You're not here, right, to be doing on behalf of someone else. Your opinion and your own views comes in and destroy the Word of God and the presence of God. When we come to the Church of God, deep in our hearts is just like the Jews, an opportunity to approach God, to offer our praise to Him because of what He has done for us. Correct? If you have not gone through pain, suffering, hurt, don't appreciate and don't understand what is happiness, joy, and being contented with the least you have. You know the story of the circle of life? Says, if I recall it correctly, this young man was telling this fisherman, "You know, you're doing this fishing, you only catch only the fishes enough for your family, you don't catch a lot." "No, it's not correct. You your business plan, right? Teach how to catch a lot, right? Start a business, right? Build houses, get rich. Then after that, at the end of the day, what we do when you're so rich? You want to relax, right? Then you go back to take a boat, and then you enjoy, relax, go sailing. Do you know that you're going back to the beginning and you want to enjoy life? And what will happen? Satan has actually, through that business plan, take away everything. What did he take away? He take away the time that you have for God. He take away the life that God wants to give you and the experience that God wants to give with you. Right? So, you want to be wise to see the circle of life, how God works. It is something that we all have to learn, right? In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 22 to 23. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 to 23. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed had God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at King David and look at why is he a man after God's own heart. King David was when Samuel went to his father's house to anoint God's chosen one. He cannot find among all the sons of let's go there. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. And we read from verse 13. This is what happened, right, to King Saul. And then Samuel, so his father was Jesse, I think, in the first part. Let me just name it. Yes, Jesse, yeah. So in the first part, verse 1 of chapter 16, the Lord told Samuel, how long will, let's go to verse 1, sorry, yeah. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. But we know the story. He went there, and he called all the sons, walked by. And Samuel's like, wow, he thought it's good, right? But but cannot find him. Why? Because he was given the worst job to look after the sheep, and not even that. Right? And Samuel says, and the Lord says that, Samuel said, we will not sit down until he comes. Okay? And the Lord says, in verse 13, okay, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came unto David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And from that day, in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord also departed from Saul. Okay? And an evil spirit from the Lord covered him. In this example, you can see that when God picked King David, did he get to be king immediately? No. It took a long, long time for him to get to be king. Correct? And what has he got to go through? It's a lot. Right? So we will try to go to some of them to give you an illustration of what does it mean by when God put you through trials, right? through temptations and things, you have to learn to always remember God in the formula. Correct? He was given an opportunity because King Saul just realized that he's going to lose his throne. He ought to kill him. Correct? He went out with Abner, the captain. But they all slept, and King David went down. Then this the sons of Zeruiah, this Abishai, went down with him. All sleeping. Correct? And he says that God has answered your prayer. Let me pierce the spear through King Saul. He will have no chance to have a second try. Right? But what did King David say? Right? When King David was given an opportunity for him to do something on behalf of God, he said, no, I will not lay him on God's anointed. Right? It's the Lord, right, that has anointed him. And the Lord will be the one that will remove him, not me. Okay? So this is what I'm trying to say, that in a challenge, in a warfare, you will always be given an opportunity. You think this is God's will, okay? But you've forgotten to bring God into the formula. So what was in King David that he just can't. The formula or the character of King David that we are trying to see and to learn, one thing he has is he was given, he recognized God, right? And he will be very angry if you offend God. And Goliath did just that, right? He cursed the children of Israel, right? And his love for the Lord and God moved him, he will kill the enemy, okay? And this is what God is doing. How much you love him, how much do you know him in your life that you have, in the walk that you have? Are you willing to submit to him and let him be in every decision that you do? Correct? So it is the forbearance, the love of God, the long suffering of God that he deal with us, giving us a lot of opportunities to change. King David tried once, he cut off the skirt, right? He never do anything when he was in the cave. He still never learned. Another time, he can always kill him, still never learn, right? And this is something that we must know. That when God deals with us at the most, he will put us to the worst of the worst. So what happened? He ran away, right? Then what happened when he ran away? The enemies, the Goliath, armies recognize him. So this is the King David that is in our midst, and they catch him to see the king, right? And when he was presented to the king, correct, he has to feign a madman in front of the king, right? Let's go and take a look at that. I think it's in 2 Samuel. Oh, sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 13 to 15. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 13 to 15. Are we there? And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servant, lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And that was how low King David has to stoop, right? And to go through this. In life, when God deals with us, and actually put us through the test, we all know that there will be trials and testing, there will be tribulations, there will be suffering that we have to bear. King David went through that. And you go to verse 22. When you go through the bottom and the most rock bottom of your life, God has a purpose, and you must recognize the hand of God in it. Okay? It's to call you out from where you are and move. In verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1, And David therefore departed hence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down Peter to him. They all heard how low he must stoop himself. You know, they heard that he has to resort to this. And they all came to him. Verse 2, who are these people that came to him? Everyone that was in distress. Everyone that was in debt. And everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So this is how the Lord actually works. I remember reading Brother Shadrach's testimony, right? It's on our website. He was down to the rock bottom. What happened to him was terrible. Within his own congregation, another person came and took control, and they gang up, right, with another elder to attack him, to say that he's not called, he's not everything he's done is wrong, and they manipulate the whole congregation against him. That was how terrible it is. And please, brothers and sisters, the devil will do the same. He's not going to spare you. Go and read his testimony and how the Lord pulled him out. Right? And the Lord, you just have to know that, you know, God is so great. When God called you, you just have to obey. You got no choice. You know why? Especially when you're called of God and you're a Bible ministry. God looks after his Bible ministry. You try everything, right? Start any business, it will collapse. He let go of the business, he will recover. Okay. Then in the end, I'll obey. I'll go back. Go and read Brother Shadrach's testimony. Okay? So this is something which God works, and God will move the people, and it's the Spirit of God that moves. It's not my effort, you know, or my planning very good. No. It's the Lord that will do it. Okay? Then the other biggest test that he ever had was this 400. They were fighting. They were in the Philistine, running away from King Saul, and then war. And then when they went back, all the children, the wives, all were captured, right, by the Ammonites. Okay, and let's take a look at what happened, right? They all these 400 to 600 people wanted to kill him, right? Okay. So I couldn't find it, but what happened was, you know, when the wives and the children were all captured, and then the 400 men look at him, right? They all were heartbroken. They thought they were all dead, right? And then they actually cried until they are not themselves, and they all wanted to abandon King David and kill him. It's the cause of it, for their losing all their wives and children, right? And David has to pull himself out and look to the Lord, and he asks the Lord, do I go after them? And he actually got to put his trust on the Lord and pull himself out from that situation of crying and mourning for the death of the wives and the children, and ask the Lord, will you help me? And the Lord says, go. Right? And when he went, he managed to kill all the enemies and bring them back. But he shows us one thing. In that kind of scenario, when all your friends abandon you, and when everyone is so sorrowful, crying away, your closest friends, the 600 were fighting with him, they actually wanted to kill him and say he's at fault, right? And he has to pull himself up. It shows us one thing. In life, no matter how down we can be, will you turn to the Lord? That's all the Lord is asking you to do, right? And King David did that. Okay, and the Lord turned him around. So the kind of suffering that we have to go through, the kind of submissing to God and getting out of situation by trusting God is very important. And from then, he managed to recover all and kill the enemies. And then the 400 and the 600, I think there was a period of time two of them too tired to continue, you know, then the foreigner, and then they start. Man's behavior is always like that. You didn't come with me, I will not share with you the spoil of what I have done. So that is exactly the problem of mankind. You can see that in the military, in this life of David. And if you're not careful, the moment you mix, right, man's opinion, man's way of thinking versus God's way of doing, it's very dangerous. Okay? It becomes very complicated. Okay. So King David, further down his line, when God made him king, right, the things that he has to learn, and it's very painful. So we all know one thing that he set the example is the sin against this Uriah by taking Bathsheba, his wife, and killing him. That is something that you really must be careful. When Nathan came and told King David, right, about the story of the one man with only one lamb, and it's like a daughter to him, and then how, right, the rich man take and give, kill it and give to the traveler, right? And Nathan says, "Thou art the man." When you are confronted with a conviction by God that you have sinned, what did King David do? He said, no, he didn't do that, right? He said, "I've sinned against the Lord." Right? That was his natural reaction. If I've done wrong, I need to the Lord and have sinned against the Lord. Nathan straight away said that, because King David predicted his own punishment, right? He will repay four times, he will surely die. Right? And Nathan told him that because he had confessed the sin, he didn't deny and repented, right? God has also forgiven you and will not take your life away. So that is exactly the kind of response that we must have when God speaks, when God moves. Why? Why is it so important? It is your attitude that you have when in God's, in His kindness and long-suffering bearing with us, you must change. If you don't change, okay, right, you have to go as slow as what King David has gone through, you are asking for it. You know what I mean? Why? Because that's what God wants, right? Your full submission. The more you rebel, it's in God's hand. Correct? Yeah. So this is something that we must know. Then, now the complication comes is when we try to, you know, when we make a mistake, one mistake, if you don't confess, it goes to another one, right? So he committed adultery, he killed Uriah, and then the punishment that God says, you say four times, right? But actually, you did in secret, I do in public, right? Right? He killed one, but the concubine was 10. That was 10 times, right? Right? And you give the enemy an opportunity, right, to have a hole in your life. This is something that we must be very careful about in our walk with the Lord. Okay? Don't give the devil a hole in your life. Okay? There was, I was listening to Brother Andrew Pierce sharing with this brother in the church. You know, he came to the fellowship, he asked for prayer. I said, "I got this problem, you know. I just can't have no peace. Please pray for me." And he prayed, just prayed. Nothing happened. Right? Right? And then this brother just come and go, and then he come. And then another time, the Lord revealed to one of the sisters in the dream. Why is it so? He stole from his employer something and still with him. He never made right. Correct? So, in God's eyes, everything that you do, right, every action you do, God treats us as His children, right? We are on par. We are given the same spirit that Christ had. You look at the miracles the Apostle Peter did compared to the Lord when He did. The biggest miracle I can read is when Jesus raised the dead. Correct? If you read from the book of John, it's very interesting. You know, when you hear, "Oh, this Jesus raised the dead, what happened? Oh, just died a month ago," correct? Raised, no big deal. You know? God is, you look at the number of cases there. The last one was 4 days in the cave. Yeah, I mean, died. Correct? How far you want to doubt God? And God is very marvelous. So the Pharisees, you know, don't believe, until the last one, died for 4 days and walk out of the cave. What else you want to say? Correct? That's how God works. Huh? If you don't believe me, you can test him. Correct? He wants you to come back to him. Who stand to lose? If you have a challenge and you have a problem, if you want to be like a little child, correct? I just shared with Sister Pearl about my granddaughter, right? Here, when she has a very headstrong, right? She wants her way. Then when she don't get away, she also will. Yeah, but when we are firm, I was very firm. Okay, she lost, right? And then she knows, Mama is angry. Grandma is angry. You know, she will know her trees will come and snuggle. So this is what I mean by God is a God of love. And he's teaching of us exactly what he's teaching King David. Right? But the problem is the moment we grow up, right, we get all the things that we learn, we tend to forget. Like King Solomon, right? His end of days is not as good as his beginning. Right? Be careful. Your life that God gives you, it's not the beginning that is. You know, I mean, we thank God for saving it. But how about the end? Where are you now? You mean this portion of your life that God has given you, God's no more interested? Only the front one. Okay? Where do you stand? If his forbearance and love in his long suffering, he's looking at us. You mean the God that we have, only when that the nice is here, then he's here. He's here, not the same. When Brother Nice is here, he's stronger. Is that how God works? What's the problem? I shared that the hurdle is us. We are always standing in the way. And, you know, it is very hard to move a group. It's easier to move an individual. Right? We go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12 and 13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The love and the forbearance of God is given all the more to the children of God. These are his inheritance. Each and every one of you are his inheritance. He came for us for this purpose. It's for us to repent and learn. You do not need to what we call in the journey of King David, the last part when Abner, right, he and his own son, because of the mistake that he has made, right, the shrine will never leave his home, right? And throughout, one thing King David knows is the Benjamite that cursed him, right? In King David's life, there are three persons that is very close to him, that has a great influence on him. They are the sons of Zeruiah, King David's sister, Zeruiah, right? It's Abner, Abishai, and Abc. And whenever he is into a temptation, like it was Abishai, is with him, let me kill him for you, right? And then when he killed Uzziah, it was Job, Abishai, and so it was Job that collaborated, put him in the forefront, moved the soldiers back towards battle, then he died. Correct? Okay? So the complication of involving the works of God with man's idea. I was reading Abraham's sermon about Korah, and then he was saying there was one particular incident in this
the whole group was organized for him. And Abraham, you already gathered all the people, you know, the committee already planned for you. You got to go. Abraham, going, I was going to tell you that, you know, like Korah has a lot of plan,
a lot of good intention, right?
But it's not God's will, I won't go. Right? And they all tried. So you are compromising the Spirit of God moving, right? Versus your own idea of doing things the right way and the wrong way. And King David got into that problem. Right? So because of that, he tried to all the while he didn't do anything to bring he's in Judah, the Israel group never come over because Saul's son took over, right? And then they skipped. So he waited. But Job do not want his commander-in-chief position to be taken over by Abner, right? And if you really follow the history, so he actually, when King David believed in disengagement, because if there's a fight between Judah and Israel, you're killing the brethren, you know what I mean? Right? So every time he avoid, right? But because of Job, right, he knows King David always avoid that, but he do not want Israel to come to reconcile with him, with Abner as the commander-in-chief. Because King David had a lot of respect for Abner. He would put him rather than Job, right? And Job cold-bloodedly slapped Abner to death when he hugged him, right? And the other one, he did it twice. The other one was Absalom's commander, right? Also, he stabbed him to death because they are competing against his commander-in-chief, right? And King David couldn't do anything because he's too powerful, and he leave it to the Lord. He can only give it to the Lord, okay? So what I'm trying to say is that when sin had a hole in it, it has to be corrected, correct? And you have to set things right and recognize the authority. Sometimes, how to put it? The move of God, right? You need to give time for it to be vindicated. You know what I'm saying? God will vindicate His chosen one, right? His anointed, and God will move where He wants to lead. So, what is important to us as a children of God, when we look at God's forbearance and love, we owe Him too much, right? To demand anything. What is the least we can do to help? Correct? And when we are faced with challenges like what King David is facing, very importantly, put God in the picture, right? It's God in control, right? It's not me, correct? It's not you, okay? So the ability to submit to God, right? And to go into prayer and wait upon the Lord is very important, okay? So when we are, I always say, please know the Satan and his tricks. You got to know your enemies. If not, again, we'll be, you know, taken like, go round and round and round, like, we'll be tricked into it, you know, and then we will be fighting among ourselves, you know, and then it is destroying all the effort that the Lord is doing. So I hope that, you know, when we are fighting the battle, don't just look at the victory, you know, and look at the failure. Look at what the enemy is doing that's destroying us. The moment you take your eyes off the tricks of the devil and all his wills that come, how can we fight against it? That one is very important, right? Because if we are not, then you keep on, how do I put it? God got to take a bit longer to get what He wants. You know what I'm saying? You look at Abraham. He's telling the truth, right? My wife is my sister. Okay? But when Pharaoh, you can go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 to 20. We will not read the whole 10 to 20. I just want to bring your attention to the point was, you know,
It's because Abraham was chosen by God. Right? You see what God did to Pharaoh, even though Abraham was in the wrong? Right? And this is how privileged we are when we are a child of God. Right? God will keep us and watch over us, and He will really protect His chosen one. Not only this, you repeat again, this is verse chapter 12, right? Chapter 20, verse the same thing happened again, is Abimelech, Abraham and Abimelech, right? Chapter 20. You can read from verse 2 to 18, but I just want to bring your attention to verse Genesis chapter 20, verse 17, right? I'd like to read. I want to bring up the part where God, verse 2 to 8, right? And God was talking to Abimelech, right? Yeah. And He said, behold, Genesis 20, and Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, right, because of, she's my sister, and Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Okay. And verse 3, and God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me that she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. And verse 6, the Lord told him, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. See, brothers and sisters, the secret here is, in our walk with the Lord, the integrity of your heart is of utmost importance. And this integrity is not your integrity to other people, your integrity to yourself. Because God told Abraham that if you can get the people to trust in you, right, nothing will stand in your way. And how can Abraham do it? He can only do it when he himself has the integrity for people to trust, right? Okay? So he looked, the most important secret weapon, or the secret answer to this overcoming this suffering and this pain and trials, or avoiding temptation and sins, is actually the integrity of the heart. If you have that, the willingness and the courage to look at your challenges and tell yourself that what is happening to me? What is happening to me? Right? Why do I have to go through this? Haven't I done enough for the Lord? Haven't I done my part? You mean everything? You know, don't be like the prodigal son, elder brother. I never do anything wrong, right? I've done this, I've done that, right? So, that's the problem with mankind, right? When we bring in our emotions, we bring in our memories of things and all, don't judge, right? It's God that judges, not you. And when you do that, you get woke up. When you get woke up, right? What is going to happen? The devil is going to come in and say, okay, where you want to go? You know, he's more than happy to let you do what you like to do. Correct? But the position that we always take is like King David. What was King David the man after God's own heart? Because in everything that he can do, he won't do. Why? He asked the Lord, right? He checked with the Lord. So if we can, in the integrity of our heart, if we look at all these challenges, we must remember, as what I quoted about
the least you do to one of the brethren, you did it to me.
Correct?
Remember the parable?
Correct? So, brothers and sisters, we are all been called to a position where we are, and we know that we have a part to play. God is still the same God on the move. Please look at the history of time, how God moves. God don't stop. He just keep on moving, correct? The problem is all the church stop. This is my Baptist, Methodist, whatever, you know. But God still moves. Think God is one of our way for us. Yeah, He has taken the gun away. He still moves, right? The problem is you. Are you stopping? You think God is still not God? Right? Or we are not getting what we should get? What's the problem? The problem is us. If you, right, do not continue that close relationship with God, in His long suffering and forbearance with us, He expects us to repent. And expects us to be sincere, be like King David, right? But don't make the same mistake that he did, right? If you sin, repent, right? And when you get all the cursing, you get all the swelling, right? The three sons of Zeruiah always tell him, "Let me go and slash his head for the Benjamite, for the curse." But King David said, "What am I to do?" Correct? You sons of Zeruiah, if God allow him to curse, let him curse. Correct? Because that's exactly what God wants him to do, right? Maybe the Lord will take pity on him. You know, to walk and somebody walk the other side of the bank and curse you until it's out of your hearing. You know how torturing that is? That is the kind of things that he has gone to go through. Right? And then when we are displaced, right, and when we have something that comes into our life and dislodge us and get a hold of us, the things that we do, you may have this problem. I think this is God's will. Right? I think God is too slow. Let me help him a bit. Right? You pray to God. What did the Lord teach you when you pray? Right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, right? And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Even God don't know? God knows, right? The prayer is for who? It's for God. Don't know what to do with it. It's all for you. Correct? I mean, it is for us. Everything that is in the Word of God that is shown to us is for us. It is for us to check on ourselves. Do we really know and give honor to God who honors you? And who are we? Right? As King David says, I'm just a flea in the sand. No? Right? Why King Saul got to come out with the whole army to kill me? Correct? I'm nobody. It's not me who wants the throne. It's God who has chosen me. Right? If you hear from God, you hear that I have done you wrong, right? I want to kill you, right? King David to King Saul. I will, if it's from God, I will offer an offering, sacrifices of sins, for sin offering to God. But if you hear from man, correct? What else do you want me to do? Correct? I think when you hear the wrong things from men, always go back to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God. What is it that God wants you to do? It's to show mercy, right? That's what is shown here in Micah chapter 6, the book of Micah. The book of Micah is after Jonah. The book of Micah chapter 6, verse 8. The book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. Are we there? Yeah. He had showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Okay. So, brothers and sisters, with that, do we all stand? Let's all stand.
We all know that the Lord, when He be with us and He work with us, in the book of Matthew, the Lord always says that the kingdom of heaven, there will be the weeds and the tares, there will be the leaven that's hidden, the leaven, the whole lump, right? And then there will be all this. But what God wants us to do, He's shown us that we must learn to treat the least of the brethren, be that little child, forgive and forget. And as what He put it, if someone slap you on the right cheek, turn to him on the left. Okay? And if Satan make you cannot forgive a brother, a grudge against a brother, correct? What did the Lord say? The Lord can forgive you, you should forgive a brother. Okay? So, I like to close by... let's just bow our heads and look into our hearts before the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, we are before you standing here, Lord. We pray that you will have the preeminence. If there be some things in our hearts that we are hurt or we are feel very unhappy and unjustified, Lord, we come before you as King, as you have shown through the life of King David and through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know what you want us to do is to forgive and to show the same forbearance that you have done when you, in the books of Romans, spoke it, even in the book of Exodus, in Moses' time, you spoke it. We all know your great love for us. Father, I come before you this morning, Lord God, to ask of you to have mercy and grace on us again. Father, we are needy people. And help us to submit to you just like what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in submitting to the cross. Not my will be done, but thy will be done.
Amen.
Father, if we all can understand the importance of letting the Lord have his will in our life, and if we all can learn from King David that in any situation that he's in, he has to bring God in, right? If it is God, then let him take over rather than I do it. I have a better way of doing it, right? I can set things right better. Father, don't let this thing affect us, Lord. This morning I pray, Father, that your presence, O God, will continue to be with us and break down these words to our hearts. Lord, you have always been there. The problem is us. We are the one that has that human barrier, the human understanding, the failure of man, the jealousy, the pride, the anger, the unforgiveness, the never-ending thoughts that we can have, Lord. Just don't let us be like Korah and be swayed by all the gainsaying. Don't let us be like Balaam and to make the children of Israel go into immorality and disgrace God, that you will be angry with them. Father, don't let us, Lord, be caught up in all these tricks of the devil. The reality of the spiritual war, the spiritual warfare is real. Father, we pray that thou give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, to go down on our knees and ask you to speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to be connected to you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this little sharing. As we close, Lord, for this little sermon, may you just break down the words in our hearts further. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.